In Acts chapter 2, there is a description of the church. Peter has preached this first gospel sermon. You see 3,000 people coming to the Lord. I mean, it is this amazing, just earth-shattering event. And in verse 42 and 43, there's a description of this thing that we call the church. And there's a little word in there that I think is really powerful and crucial for us in our world today. Listen to what the scripture says. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Everyone was filled with awe. And that's what makes this series we've been preaching, Christmas from Heaven's Perspective, so important, is we as the church need to be filled with awe. And for a lot of us, we've done Christmas so many years and so many times in so many ways that it's almost routine for us. There's no more awe. I mean, we're still putting out the same decorations on the same tree. We got ornaments on our tree that are almost 30 years old. In fact, we got one from our very first wedding anniversary, so it's really approaching almost 30 years old. And I saw a video this week that just kind of helps for me to understand what awe is. How many of you know Stephanie and Alex Lopez? They go to church with us. They got three precious little kids. I asked Stephanie about this, so I'm not telling stories without asking her. She posted a video on Facebook, and they have started something to kind of teach their kids about gift giving. And they did it when the boys were younger, and now they did it again with Reagan. And what they do is before Christmas, they just give them a gift of stuff. It's not even good stuff. It's just stuff. So to teach them that they're thankful for gifts. And what was so amazing is this year, and I tried to get the video. I couldn't get it to format right to play here. So go on Facebook if you can and watch it. Because what they gave their kids this year was amazing. They gave them a leaf, a roll of toilet paper, a book on law. It's about this thick. And Reagan got a small jar of outdated mayonnaise. Now, who wants that stuff? But Reagan is standing in the front of this video, and you can see Nathan in the back. He's got the leaf on his head. And Reagan is standing in the front of this video, and she's got this jar of mayonnaise, and she is excited as she could ever be. She's asking her mom, you know, what are we going to do with it? When can I eat it? I mean, she is in awe that somebody gave her something, and it's an outdated jar of mayonnaise. And I watched that, and I said, that's all. That's it right there. I don't know what the definition of a dictionary is, but in that little child, in the actions of her, in the celebration, in how can I use it? What does it mean? What am I going to get out of it? Can I eat it? All these questions. She is in awe of a simple jar of mayonnaise. And Stephanie has to go into this detail that you can't eat it. Never open it. You know, I mean, and it's quite interesting. And when I look at the text that we've been talking about out of Colossians 1, this is the idea that Paul has. He is in awe. He is in awe over what Jesus, why he came. He is in awe over the idea that he would deliver us, that he would transfer us, and that he would redeem us. He is in awe of who Jesus is, that he would be the exact representation of God, that he would be the creator, that in all things would... would be bound together by Him, that He was supreme over all things. And we close our text this morning with verses 20 through 29, and He begins to talk to us about what Jesus offers. If you have your Bibles, open them to Colossians chapter 1. And I just want to read you the text this morning, and I want you to just kind of take it in. This sermon, I want you to be able to kind of sit back and just take all of this in. I want to start in verse 19. It says, "For God was pleased to have all the fullness, all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His bloodshed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggle with all His energy, which is so powerfully works in me." This is this description of what He offers. This idea that Jesus brings something for us. Let's go back and listen to what He says in verses 21 and 22. He says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation." Jesus offers us a pardon. A pardon from all of our past. See, once we were alienated from God by our sin. And I don't, you know what's so amazing to me about what makes me in awe of this text is it covers all sin. So it doesn't matter if you told a lie. It doesn't matter if you told a lie to a spouse. It doesn't matter if you at one time were an alcoholic, if you had a drug addiction, if you aborted a child, if you gave up on a marriage, if you're struggling, Jesus offers us a pardon for everything in our past. He came to pardon and forgive you and me. That's why He came to earth. That's what it is. That's what He offers. A chance to lay down all of that stuff. And I think what really robs us of our awe sometimes when it comes to Christmas is we like this baby in a manger, but we just don't think in Him there is pardon. In Him there is a chance. In Him there is hope for me to give up what drags me down day after day after day after day. You know, for me, that sin was like a rock. And I drug it around. I didn't talk about it. I didn't show it to anybody. I didn't reveal it. I just carried it around. It was a weight. It made me tired. It made me weary. It made me at times angry and frustrated. And finally, in Christ, I realized that He pardoned me from it. That I could cut that string and lay that stuff down and be done with it. And that's what He offers us. See, We're going to get the greatest gift that we could ever hope for this year for Christmas, because in Christ we can be forgiven of all of our sins. He pardons us from our past. And I want to tell you a story that I think kind of helps this really come to life. This week, well, actually it wasn't this week, it was last week. I got up. And I just, I'm a pretty routine guy, so I'm going about the house getting ready for work. And I put on a shirt. Now, I don't wear big cologne and all that kind of stuff, so, you know, I just try not to stink. I'm never really thinking I'm going to smell good. I just don't want to stink. And I'm getting ready to go to work, and I'm going, something smells. It don't smell bad. It kind of smells fresh. But it doesn't smell right. And I got my cup, my coffee, and I'm going, it ain't the coffee. What is it? And so I walk outside and I'm going, okay, well, I don't smell it. Must be gone. Must have been Carol. Must have lit a candle or something in the house before she went to work or something. I don't know. I don't smell. I get in the truck and I start up the truck and I go, something's in my truck. And look, my truck is 100% guy truck. It rarely smells fresh. There's time, you know, I can remember a time where I had, this is gross, but I gutted a deer and I had a glove on and it got rolled up under the seat of my truck and I didn't realize it and stayed there for a while. It was so my, you know, for me to get in the truck and go, fresh, it is odd. It is weird. And I'm thinking, something's wrong. So I'm looking around. I'm thinking, okay, Carol rode with me, and she stuck something in. You know, I'm looking for the little thing in the vent because I think Carol had stuck something in the vent because she rode with me and said, my truck stunk. You know, I don't see it. I can't find it. I get to work. I'm walking around outside. I don't really smell it. I come inside and sit down in the office and I go, there it is. It's that smell again. What is it? And I finally realize that there is a dryer sheet in my shirt, like right here. So every time I turn my head to the side, I smell dryer sheet. Now, I don't know what that means about my getting ready for work program, that I would have a dryer sheet, and I guess it's better than a sock, you know what I mean, in my shirt. But when I read this passage and I understand what Jesus offers me, do you hear the words he was saying? We were alienated. We were enemies. See, what happened is my sin makes a stink in my life. It makes a smell. It's odd. It doesn't belong. It can't be in the presence of God. It can't be around Him. See, when He talks about us being enemies, He talks about the idea that we are an affront. We're an attack. The same that a smell, you know how a certain smell will make, it's like an attack to your senses. That's what our sin was to God. He didn't look past it. He doesn't treat it like we did. He doesn't just learn to live with it and look past it and get used to it. That's the way we deal with a lot of smells in our life. That's just what they are. But Jesus came so that the smell, the stink, the alienation, the thing that would make me stand out, to be different from God, to look different, to smell different, to be distant from Him, to be an enemy from Him, that He came so that I would be reconciled, that I would be pardoned for all of my sin. That no longer am I an enemy, no longer do I insult His senses. I am now fit to be in His presence because Jesus has pardoned me. And guys, it's something that we can never do for ourselves. We are not capable. I can't wash it off. I can't come to church enough. I can't read the scripture enough. I can't learn enough songs. I cannot wash off this smell that sin brings. It is only through the pardon of Jesus that it's gone. In fact, the scripture says this in Isaiah 64 and 6. All our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. Compared to the holiness of God, the best we can do is a filthy rag. We don't measure up. Jesus looked down upon us from heaven in all of our ugliness and all of our smell and all of our stench and all of our sin, and He came into the world to pardon us from it. He became humanity so that we would be delivered from our depravity. And folks, that's what He offers us, a chance to be delivered from all of our depravity. I read a story this week that I thought was illustrates this idea really well. A preacher was working in a church in an inner city type setting, and he decided he reached out to a young lady that had been a prostitute, and he invited her into his home to have a meal, just to get to know her, had his wife there, and he began to do a ministry to some of the ladies that worked in the street and in the establishments that were around his ministry. And he talked about who these ladies were, and they would come and have dinner. And he would say, "Hey, how are you?" And he encouraged the ladies that were coming to invite more ladies. And this thing began to grow. And he had a particular lady come over one night, and the ladies, he would ask the lady, the new ladies, their name. And he asked this lady, "What is your name?" And the lady said, "Well, everybody just calls me Stripper Girl. I've been working here in this particular club in the downtown area longer than most all these girls around here, so they just call me Stripper Girl." And he said, "That's not your name. That's what you do. I want to know your name." And the young lady said, "Look, no, that's what everybody calls me." And he said, "I'm not everybody. I want to know your name." And so after much conversation, this young lady finally shared her name with this preacher. And see, that's the difference. Satan calls me by my sin. Jesus knows my sin, but He calls me by my name because He died for me. In Romans 8, in one, Paul says this: There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus came so that I would have pardon, so that you would have pardon from our past, that we would no longer be identified by our sin, that He would call us by our name, that we would stand holy and righteous in the presence of His Father. His pardon is for our past, and for our present, and even for our future. Now, this grace is not so that we will grow in our sin. It is so that we stop sinning. And there is one way to get the pardon. You have to accept Him. You have to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You cannot just come and say, "Okay, I want the pardon. I, you know," it'd be like going to a store with something you bought or you didn't buy and saying, "I want a guarantee." You know, you have to accept Him as your Savior. He gives us a pardon based upon our acceptance of Him. And that is hard for most of us to accept. But he does more than just pardon us. And this is some of the things that I think that is what is most lacking in most people's lives today, is he gives us purpose. This baby in a manger, this Jesus, this child, this perfect example of the character of God gives us a purpose. Paul says in verse 27, God has chosen me to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And listen to what he says in the next phrase, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit making residence, living inside of you when you accept the pardon that Jesus offers. You have a piece of the Holy Spirit living in you. It takes up residence there. And when we live by that Spirit, it gives us direction and purpose. He is in our hearts. It is now our job to share and to make known the glorious riches of the mystery. Paul says our goal is to be mature, to grow in maturation with Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works within me. There is a labor. There is a striving. There is a work for us to do. Jesus describes it in the Great Commission as what? Going and preaching and teaching them all that I have commanded you, baptizing them. There is an idea that inside this baby, there is purpose for the world. How many of you just shop at Christmas time? Carol can do this. Holly can do this. They just go shopping. And I'm like, why would you just go shopping? Who just goes shopping? And she says, well, what do you do? I said, I go buying. I have a very distinct list. I know exactly what I'm going for. I have a very clear purpose. I am going to get these items on this list and nothing else. And I will buy them at the first place that has them available. I do not care if you can get them for $2 less 8 miles down the road. And I am not getting a gift receipt so I can take it back if I find it cheaper somewhere else. I have a purpose to get the things that I'm going to get as quickly and as fast as possible and to be done with the whole process. And guys, do you realize that I live with a purpose? I know y'all are going, there's people in this, they're going, I cannot believe you actually call that gift giving. Man, it is great. I'm just telling you. Like, you can do things, if you shop with that kind of purpose, you can do. I bought every gift for Carol in one day, for the whole year, one time. It was massive success. In my mind, maybe not in hers, but can you imagine? Look, I live with a purpose. My purpose is to share Christ, to work out the pardon that He gave me and to live it out and to share Jesus. Every day I know exactly what I'm going to do. I have a purpose for living. I'm not here by accident. There is something for me to do. I am to work out my faith and to share it with others. I'm not here just to take up space. I'm not coming to church just to sing songs and hang out so people will think better of me. I am here to be admonished, to learn through the Word, to learn from my association with y'all, that I might grow in my relationship with God, that I might better share Him with others. And look, folks, what more could you want for Christmas if this year you got pardon from your sins and purpose for your life? And that's what Jesus offers us. A reason to live. A reason to do what we do. To know why I'm here. Not only do I know why I'm where I'm going, I know what to do on the way to getting there. And that, folks, is... I'm in awe that He would give me the things that I needed most. Because life without pardon, life without purpose is what? It's miserable. I don't have to wonder. He gives me parameters to live within, boundaries to work within. And so I walk in that way. So let me ask you, would you be happy this Christmas if you just got pardon and purpose? I think most of us would be. I think we've lost, to a certain sense, our awe when it comes to Jesus, because we have lost the fact that this baby in a manger brings to us just that. That's what He offers us. It's not a reason to put up lights. It's not a reason to shop for presents. It's not a reason to do a lot of things that we do this season. The reason He comes, what He offers us, is just that. A pardon for all of our sins and a purpose for our living. And guys, that is huge. So how is it that this is so hard for us to stay in contact with? I think Jesus knew us perfectly and knows us. And He said, you know what? This remembrance of who I am and why I came and what I do, it needs to be on the forefront of people's minds all the time. So He set aside a meal. And He said, do this in remembrance of me. See, not only does He offer me a pardon and a purpose, but He invites me as a regenerated Christian, as somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit, to come and to be around His table. That we might be reminded of the reconciliation that we have through Christ. Verse 20 in our text this morning says this, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. We had at our house what we have termed our soup fandango the other night. And that thing is kind of neat. It has taken on a life of its own. It is my mother-in-law came because she just thinks it's neat to watch. And she said, you're outgrowing it. You need to move it. And I said, well, I don't know where we'd move it to. And she said, we just have it at the church. And I said, no, it loses something if it goes to the church. And she said, but you, and there was a point where, there were so many people, if y'all been in our house where the TV is, there were so many people in that room at one point the other night that I was thinking that we might do this, you know what I mean? It was full. And I said, it just loses something. It loses some intimacy. It loses something if you just have it someplace. And what I'm so in awe of is Jesus, in the most intimate way possible, invites me to the table. And He says, here, take this cup. I offered it for you. It's the new covenant. Take this bread. It's my broken body. I did it for you. So as we come around the table, we're going to take communion this morning. This is going to be the last thing we do to do. You take it, and I want you to just to hold it, to think about it, to remember what Jesus offers you, the pardon and the purpose that he brings into your life. I want you to hold the loaf and the cup and find that all. Be reminded of what he did for you, that we might leave this place filled with it, filled with the awe that Jesus came for us. Let's pray.